today as we are going to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your heart. This is December the 2nd. We are glad to be able to be in your home or in your car or wherever you're listening to the program today. We hope and pray that you have a desire to know what God says from His Word and that you desire to show yourself approved to Him. And thus, this program is just the right place to let the Bible speak to the questions that are on your heart. And so our hope and prayer is that you will be able to find the answers that are important to your life and to be able to show yourself approved to God. We do not apologize for giving you the answers from the Bible, even though sometimes there are people that do not appreciate what the answers are. They do not necessarily like the answers from God's Word because it may have been different than they were brought up, or it may be something that they have never seen or heard before. Well, the sad thing about that is that is really a shame that even though someone may be religious, there are answers from God's Word that they have never seen or heard before. God has seen to it. He has promised in 1 Peter chapter 1 and chapter 2, we see that He has promised that we have all things that from His Word, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, all things that pertain to life and godliness, and that He has preserved that Word even to today. And so God has made certain everybody has access to His Word, but unfortunately we're not necessarily searching out what is true. We would rather to listen to individuals or to parents or feelings or many other things that people will use. Well, we're going to go to the Bible for the answer because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And as God's Word was being revealed, we see that Paul wrote by inspiration when he wrote Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which was preached to you, that is 2,000 years ago, let him be accursed. So if we bring you anything other than what God's Word says, we're going to be accursed. If Paul was under that indictment and an angel from heaven was under that indictment or that cursing, then we too certainly will not escape God's dishing out punishment on those that teach or preach something from God's Word. So we're going to go to the Bible for the answer today. Now, the line, the voice line, if you would like to call us right now, is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI-9564. And you can ask your question. It can be written down and brought into us, or you can go live over the air. The only thing that we ask is, if you want to go live, is that you give us your name and be ready to turn your radio down when we start talking with you so there will not be a delay echo causing confusion. We're very well aware of 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33 where it says God is not the author of confusion but of peace. So we need to make certain that that through our technology today that's not going to cause confusion as well. So be ready to turn your radio down if you want to go live over the air. Now, there's one other way that you can communicate with us is through the cell phone. If you have a cell phone and you text, you can text us your question simply by texting us at 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text number, and you will be able to get right your question right to us. You will not get a busy signal at all. And again, that text number is 725-9283. So our voice line, 308-9564. The lines are now available. We already had our first call, but go ahead and call right now. 308-9564 is the voice line, and you can let the Bible speak to the question on your mind.
The importance of studying the Bible and reading the Scriptures is so necessary for us to appreciate. Psalms 19 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul." And as I read these couple of verses, notice the benefit that comes from the Word of God. The testimony of the Lord is sure, doing what? Making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, doing what? Rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, doing what? Enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the drippings of the honeycomb. So this is why the Word of God is such of importance to us, because of the benefits it can bring to us. And so we encourage you to read and study on a daily basis, but particularly when we're here on the radio program, that as we answer the questions and as you fill in and text or call in some questions, that when we answer these, that you open the Bible with us and read along with the answers, and so that we can know what it is that the Bible is trying to tell us to do. When we look at the Scriptures, it's important also that we appreciate and can realize that it is such a blessing that we can understand the will of God for us. And so we're going to look at now one of the questions and encourage you to listen.
We remember our phones are now available, 308-9564, that's 308-WJNI, or you can text us at 725-9283. Either way, go ahead and get us your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer as we let the Bible speak. We have Hank calling in this afternoon. That is right, Hank. His question is, someone did me wrong, and I forgave them. But now I try to do good to them, and they turn their back on me. So what should I do? Well, Hank, I think you'll find your answer, as Jesus tells us about how to be happy about situations. And this may sound contradictory, but nevertheless, listen to what Christ says in Matthew chapter 5, starting on verse 10. It says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now you might say, well, now that's easy to say, but hard to do. Well, Jesus himself, after saying that, a few years later, he himself was crucified for doing what is right and good. And you might say, well, yeah, he's the Son of God. Well, you look in Acts chapter 6 and 7, and you see one of his disciples by the name of Stephen going through the same thing, not the crucifixion, but he did what was right, teaching God's word, and the response was to that teaching of God's word, they stoned him to death. And even while he, right before he breathed his last breath, he prayed to God that God would not hold those that were killing him accountable because of their sin. And so, Hank, hopefully that's been helpful to you. Jesus went through this, and so if we're doing what is right, then we should just rejoice over those things because we're serving the Lord. It is not about me. It is not about we. It is all about God, and our focus should be trying to please him and him alone.
When Jesus was dying upon the cross, one of his seven sayings was that he said, "Forgive them, for they do not understand what they're doing." If you look at that passage in Acts chapter 6, Stephen said the exact same thing. So because of the example of Jesus, it can empower us to be able to do the same. And so hopefully that will encourage you, Hank. I know a lot of people have to experience things like that, and it's unpleasant, but with the power of Jesus' example, we can do much good. So I encourage you to call in for a question. The number is 308-9564, 308-9564. And if you'd like to text a question in, 843-725-9283.
Now, we're going to be offering something new today that we've only offer usually just about once a year. And so pay attention. This is something for everybody listening today. We're going to offer again this year for this week. If you would like to have a Bible reading schedule free of charge, we'll be glad to send that to you free of charge. And that is, it is a piece of paper. High quality, it'll last the whole year, and it's where you can check off as you read through the Bible, each passage that you read, step by step, 365 days a year, and you will be able to go through the complete Bible in 1 year. There is an Old Testament line, and there's a New Testament line. So if you just wanted to read through the New Testament in a year, well, you're welcome to do that as well, and with using the same schedule. And so don't miss out on this. We're more than happy to send this to you free of charge simply by calling the operator standing by at the phone number we're about to give you during our break. Now, to let you know how much we appreciate you, that is, all year long, many of you have studied with us, you've listened all year long, and you studied God's Word, we want to give you a gift as well, another gift, and that is a DVD. A DVD of the what God would have us to understand about His Word. It is a presentation that you will not soon forget. Matter of fact, if you study through it and then pause it, look up the scriptures for yourself, you will receive such a blessing. And so we want to send you this free DVD, this free presentation, absolutely free as well. Now, all you need to do is when you call the operator standing by, say, send me the Bible reading schedule and the DVD, and we will send it to you free this coming week. So make certain that you don't miss out on this opportunity that we're offering today. We're more than happy to send that to you. So here's the information about the number to call for that information. And the number, again, for the Bible questions. Now, if you have a Bible question, go ahead and call right now. The line is available, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. So we're going to go ahead and break right now. Remember, you can ask for the Bible reading schedule and the DVD during this time when you order the Bible correspondence course. So it's entirely up to you what you would like to receive. Go ahead and take advantage of this. Here's the details and the phone number to call for that free information and free DVD to be sent to you. We'll be right back. Live now, we want you to know that we are happy to send you that information, that DVD, and that Bible reading schedule. So don't miss out on this. The operator is standing by at 553-5157. By the way, if you call and it's a busy signal, then just hang up, pause a moment or two, and then look on your phone. You'll see a redial button, and you just hit redial. You'll eventually get through, but don't miss out on this. We only have the hour and a half for the operator to get this information in, so don't miss out. That's 553-5157, and we'll get that to you. And by the way, if you have not received the correspondence course, go ahead and ask for that, too. We will send that to you as well. That's the same number at 553-5157. Today, it is the Bible course, the DVD, and the Bible reading schedule. So don't miss out on that. 553-5157. Now, if you have a question, the lines now are available. We've got some questions on deck here, but go ahead and call in your question, and you'll be third in line, and we'll be glad to answer your Bible question today. That is 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Steve, you have a question?
Yeah, we have a question here from Velma, and it has to do with tithing. Are we to tithe today? When we look at the New Testament, there are several passages that talk about giving, and one of those is in 1 Corinthians 16, and I would like to read verse 2 when it says, on the first day of every week, let each one of you put aside and save as he may prosper, that no collections be made when I come. I would draw your attention to the fact that there is no reference to the word tithing in there. I also want to note that 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, both of them have to do with the idea of giving and a collection. And as the church at Corinth was encouraged to do that which they had promised to do for the saints at Jerusalem. And I draw your attention to 2 Corinthians 9, and I want to look at verse 7 of that chapter. Verse 7, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, says, let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Again, the idea of tithing was not mentioned in that passage. In fact, if you go through the book of Acts, there are several occasions where the church gave to help their needy saints, and every occasion lists the idea that they brought money and laid it at the apostles' feet or gave it to the hands of the apostles who sent it to the elders of different churches. And that's the way in which the church did things. So in a simple and concise way, we can see that the idea of tithing was not practiced, was not taught, or encouraged in the New Testament church. And that's really where we're looking for our answers. What did the New Testament church do? So I hope that is helpful. Call in with the questions. The number is 308-9564 if you want to call in. If you want to text a question, 725-9283. Ricky?
Yes, we are glad to have you today, and we hope and pray that you are being blessed from God's Word as we go to the Bible for the answer. And we are thrilled to be able to see your interest in studying God's Word. We don't want you to miss out today on the free offer we have as well about the Bible reading schedule for 2013 and also for the DVD, the free DVD. So don't miss out on this. Make certain that you get your copy of both of these. We are more than happy. Just call the operator standing by at 553-5157. I was just reminded also about our website that we should let you know about that. You can download previous broadcasts of this program from our website, which is, you might want to write this down, which is BibleAlone.com. That's www.BibleAlone, BibleAlone.com. And you can not only download previous broadcasts of this program, but also you can also stream live. If you know of someone out of town, out of state, out of the country, if you will just communicate with them, they can join in right now in this program as well through the Bible, through the Internet, and through our website, BibleAlone.com. And so don't miss out on this opportunity to help them to come to a knowledge of truth as well. And so we offer that free of charge as well. So share that information. Let them know if you do that and you communicate with them that this is area code 843 that we are in and the station is in, 843, and the radio station's number here is 308-9564, and the text line is 725-9283, which is both area code 843. We have Lutalo calls in this question. He wants to know, can a woman be an elder in the church? Well, Lutalo, I want to first of all let you know there's the word elder can be referring to someone that's older. And so I hope every church has older people in it, men and women. But I don't think that's what your question is. I think your question is what the Bible says about a special person that has to qualify themselves in order to function as an overseer or a bishop, elder, presbyter, a pastor. And so if that is the case, then the answer to that question is in 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we will look at verse 1 and 2, although the qualities are listed all the way through verse 7, but we'll find the answer in verse 2. It says, this is a faithful saying, if a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Well, there's your answer. In order for someone to function as a overseer, bishop, pastor, in order for them to be in that role, they must be the husband of one wife. Now, that may be strange to you, and you might think, well, surely it doesn't mean that. Well, the Bible just doesn't say it one time. Matter of fact, if you go all the way through the Bible and see every time the word elder or elders is used, you will always see the masculine gender in the pronouns there. But it's also, the list is given in Titus chapter 1 as well. In Titus 1, beginning with verse 5, he tells Titus that they are to set things in order there in every church. And then he says in verse 6, if a man is blameless, the husband of one wife. There it is again. Not once, but twice. It describes this individual as a man, a husband of one wife, being old enough to have his children in subjection with all gravity. And so I hope that is helpful to you. Again, the passages of 1 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 7, and Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. You see about 20 different qualities, not only gender addressed, but also many other things that are extremely more difficult than the gender we are. And so that must be acquired before they can function in this capacity as a pastor, shepherd, overseer, bishop. Those words are used interchangeably. If you want to see that, you can go to Acts chapter 20 and look verses 27, verse 17 through 28, and also 1 Peter 5, verse 1 and 2. You'll see all those terms used interchangeably. Thank you for your question. We sure are thankful that you have a heart to know what the Bible says rather than what is politically correct or religiously correct. What we want is what God says is correct. We want the truth. And so thank you for calling to find out what God's Word says. We sure do appreciate it very much. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. There is one line available, so go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. You might have to let it ring in order for us to get to you, but go ahead and let it ring, and we'll eventually get to answering your number, 308-9564. Or if you would rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283.
We have another question from on the text line that asks about the idea of spiritual gifts, and the particular had reference to some think that spiritual gifts have ceased with the apostles. And I guess I am one of those people who believe that, and I want us to look at a couple of things. One, 1 Corinthians 13 talks to us about to expect that that indeed would take place. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, for we know in part, this is verse 9, we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. And this is in the context of the idea of there be prophecy, if there be tongues in verse 8, all those will be done away, they will cease, and if there's knowledge, spiritual knowledge is a spiritual gift, it will be done away. And the key point in when that happens is when the perfect, that is, when the completed way in which God's will was communicated, when that perfect completed revelation came, then the partial things through which that revelation came would be done away with. The other thing that I think that really is important for us to appreciate in supporting of that is to look how did these spiritual gifts get passed on from the apostles to other people. In Acts chapter 8, we see that Peter and John came down to Samaria and laid hands on the people who become Christians in Samaria, and they received the Holy Spirit. I'd like for you to read with us in Acts chapter 8 and verses 17 and 18 and 19. Notice what is observed here. Now when, verse 16 of chapter 8. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them, but they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, give this authority to me as well, so that every one of whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. What this verse is telling us is that the apostles had the ability to lay on hands and thus pass a spiritual gift. The same thing is seen in Acts chapter 19 when Paul baptized those who knew only John's baptism, that he laid on hands of them as well. And then in Romans 1:11, Paul says that he wanted to come to the church at Rome that he may impart some spiritual gift. Now, since none of the apostles are around today, then the ability to pass on a gift from them has really ceased. And so thank you for that question. We appreciate your interest.
It is time for us to take our next break. We do want you to know that we're offering today a special offering, a DVD and a Bible reading schedule for 2013. So don't miss out on this. We're more than happy to send this to you free of charge. Just call the operator standing by at 553-5157, and we're more than happy to send those to you. That's 553-5157. You can also, as we every week, we offer the Bible Correspondence Course. If you've never received this, my friend, You are missing out on a blessing, not because of any special thing that we, man, has done, but because it will direct you to things in God's Word that you may never have seen before. Because there are some very critical things that are left out in mainstream churches today. And so don't miss out on what God would have you to know from His Word. So why not enroll in the Bible Correspondence course as well as you order the DVD and the Bible reading schedule so that you will be able to find those things that God expects us to find, to yield to be touched by. His instructions, our Creator wants us to know some things before we meet Him face to face on Judgment Day. So don't miss out on this. Go ahead and get the correspondence course as well. That number, 553-5157. Go ahead and start calling. If it's busy, just hang up and redial. But now, if you've already got the Bible correspondence course, you've already received the DVD and the Bible reading schedule, go ahead and call in your question right now. The lines are available, 308-9564. We'll be right back.
Well, thanks again for hanging in with us through the break. And we've got a question here from Ben. And the question has to do with 2 Timothy 1:7. And it says, please explain what is a sound mind. And this sound mind is found in that passage, of course, and different translations may say different things. One says of discipline instead of sound mind. And the idea is of soberness, of self-discipline, of control, a person who is thinking sober thoughts. And that's the idea. It doesn't have anything to do necessarily with what we think of being sane or insane, but simply one who is thinking soberly, thinking in mature ways. And so hopefully that will be helpful to us. We had another question here,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, there's a caller by the name of Jessica. Jessica, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for joining us as we go to the Bible for the answers. And this is kind of connected with the previous question that I had. Her question is, can a woman preacher oversee a congregation? Well, Jessica, that goes right back to the previous passage that we used in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, talking about that an elder must be the husband of one wife. The word pastor must be the husband of one wife. The pastor, shepherd, elder, overseer, bishop, all of those words are they're referring to the same group of men, and that they must be qualified the same way. When they're functioning as that, then they must have those characteristics. And so we need to make certain that if you're just talking about someone teaching God's Word, well, yes, Titus also brings out that all of us, men and women, are to be teachers. We are to be teaching God's Word. When the church was scattered abroad, everyone, men and women, went everywhere preaching the word. Titus chapter 2 tells women that they should be teachers of good things and that they should be teaching their children how to love their husbands and how to love their children. And so the older are to teach the younger how to do this. It's Titus chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. But now you use the phrase of over a congregation. Well, Jessica, I would encourage you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, where it brings out that women, it says, let your women learn in silence in all submission, and I do not permit a woman to teach or have authority over a man, but to be in silence. And so we can see there is the restriction of that they're not to be over or have authority over a man from that standpoint. And so that's, again, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Thank you, Jessica, for your question. Again, those passages were 1 Timothy 3, Titus chapter 2, and then also concerning that the woman is not supposed to have an authority or teach over an authority of a man is 1 Timothy 2, verse 11 and 12. Thanks, Jessica, so very much. We are thankful that you've taken out time. Now, if you have a Bible question that you would like to ask, now's your opportunity. The lines are available, 308-9564. Or you don't have to use your voice. You can text us If you have a cell phone, that's 725-9283.
We had a two-part question from Ben, and that second part is, how do we handle difficult situations as Christians? Earlier in the program, we talked a little bit about a person asked about when there's no, when you forgive someone, but they still don't treat you right. So if I'll refer you to that as well if you've been listening since the beginning of the program, Ben. But the other passage that comes to mind when I think about difficult situations is the entire book of Philippians. Paul, the apostle, had several difficult circumstances to deal with. One, of course, was that he was in prison for preaching the gospel of Christ. That's a difficult situation when you're out doing what the Lord wants you to do, and what you get for it is to be put in prison. And you remember the case in Acts where they were in Philippi in Acts chapter 16, and Paul and Silas were singing and praying to God, realizing that it was a blessing. They rejoiced to be counted worthy, to be considered to suffer for the name of Christ. But back to the book of Philippians, what Paul there tells us, basically, is that if our mind is centered on Christ, then we are able to experience joy in spite of whatever difficult things come our way. One of the other difficulties that Paul experienced in Philippi, as he wrote to the Philippians, was that they were his own fellow Christians who were hoping to cause him problems because he was limited in preaching and he was in prison. And so in verse 15, for instance, he says, "Some to be sure are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice." So my counsel would be is that, one, you need to have your mind focused on the things of Christ, and if you're doing that which is approved of the Lord, then that must be your source of joy. And whatever anybody says or does to you, the result of what doing is obedient to the Lord, is not something to lose any sleep over.
We are standing by to put Chuck on the air. We have Chuck. He has a question he would like to ask us on the air. And Chuck, just to let you know, we're having difficulty with the board here, and so hopefully we'll be able to hear you as you ask your question. All right. Let us know what your question is.
Okay.
Oh, we can hear you. Good. Great. Go ahead.
Yeah, my question was, anyway, the church that I belong to, you know, give tithes and offerings. But, you know, I've listened to you guys for probably about a year now, and I know you were saying something that tithes are not under, it was under the old law.
Yes, all those tithes were supposed to go to the Levites. It was to maintain those Levites.
Right. So I'm asking the question, by my giving, it doesn't have to be called tithes. I mean, I'm supposed to give anyway, but just not as tithing.
Right. First Corinthians
right.
Chapter 16, verse 1 and 2 shows that we are to give as we've been prospered.
Right. So, and that by that giving, doesn't all have to go to a church. Can that be like somebody that I see in need or some organization? Can I just give, would that be the same thing as, you know, giving bountifully?
Okay, that's a very good question. Sometimes people, we've had that. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6 tells us that we are to, there are several things we're supposed to give. Galatians 6 says that we are to share with those who teach in all good things. And so there is another area where we are to be giving away our income. And then also Ephesians chapter 4 talks about let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor with his hands that he may have to give to those who are in need. And so we are to also be given to those who are in need. And so that is something we're supposed to do as well. It's not in lieu of, We're supposed to do all of these things because that's what Christ says. That's one of the motivations that we are to work with our hands that we may have to give to those that are in need. So we are not only that, we're supposed to give to the government our taxes that are due. Romans chapter 13 brings that out. So, there are several things that the Lord shows us on how we are to get income and how we are to give to others.
Right.
And so just giving to the Lord's church or to those that are needy saints are certainly just one of those things. One other passage, and you've probably heard this every single week, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9, the Lord tells us that we are to give bountifully and cheerfully. So I know someone very personal to me that said to me, Ricky, I can only give, and she gave a dollar amount per week because that's all I can give cheerfully. And I knew personally that she was very wealthy, and so I didn't say a thing to her other than this. I said, well, when you grow to love God more and more, then that amount will certainly grow as well because the Lord has blessed us so much, we should be willing to give everything to him. Actually, that's what conversion is all about. We give everything to him.
Okay.
That make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay, Chuck. We sure do appreciate your question, and thank you for listening every week. I hope you take advantage of the DVD and watch it very closely and critically. Look up all the verses, and you'll be blessed from that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Again, that number for the DVD and the correspondence course is 553-5157. Those of y'all that may not have heard or just tuned in, we are offering a free DVD and a Bible reading schedule this week. So don't miss out on this. It'll be in this week's mail. So that number to get that DVD and the Bible correspondence course and the Bible reading schedule, all three, if that's what you desire, is 553-5157. So be sure to call before the end of the program today. And thank you so much, Chuck. We sure do appreciate it. We again, if you have already got the correspondence course and you've already asked for your free DVD, then go ahead and call in your question right now. The lines are available, 308-9564, or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back.
Are these... Do this one in the past. Hello, we have another question. This one has to do with a question that is interesting for me because of my like of certain music. It says, if you're a Christian, can you listen to R&B music? And of course, to others that may not be aware, R&B is rhythm and blues.
That would be at a wedding.
Oh, it was at a wedding. I see. Okay. Well, when I've got a pretty eclectic choice of music that I listen to, and rhythm and blues is one of those. And I've been to weddings where, you know, different kinds of music, classical, rhythm and blues, and country was part of the entertainment after the wedding was over at the reception. And the rule of thumb that I try to use with any kind of music I listen to is there anything in the lyrics that is causing me to think about things that I ought not be thinking about? Are there things about sex and drinking and carousing and those kind of things that would discourage me in the pure thoughts that I ought to have as a child of God? And so when we think about the purity of our minds and having pure thoughts, that anything that would discourage that for a Christian is something that I don't want to expose myself to. Now, you know, if you're a listener of a radio program or R&B music, there's some things that I don't choose to listen to. One of those songs is, if loving you is right, then I don't want to be, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Well, I don't want to be thinking about that, you know, being tempted to love another woman or be adulterous. I don't need that kind of thought in my mind. And so I really want to free myself up from things that would discourage me instead of things that would lift me up. If you look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, for instance, it talks to us about the kind of things that we ought to be thinking about. And one of those, a number of those things, is the idea of thinking of pure thoughts that are important for us to mature and grow as a Christian. And Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things." And there are other passages that as well that can be helpful to help our mind stay on those things that are right. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 tells us to abstain from every form of evil. And so that's important for us to think about as well.
22.
I said verse 24. Okay, to abstain from every form of evil. So hopefully those will give you some guidelines, not just for the particular occasion you were thinking about, but just music in general that will be helpful for us to think about as well. We've got your numbers for the phone. Got questions, 308-9564, 308-9564. And for a text, 843-725-9283.
We have Barbara calling in this question. Barbara, thank you so much for your question, and I really appreciate the dilemma that you're in. Her question is, and some of y'all want to probably pay attention to this because you may learn things here from God's Word on the radio program, and you don't know how to react to that. Her question is, how do I present this information about tithing to my pastor? Well, Barbara, I would have to say that you need to present it maybe similar to what we're doing here, and that is just let the Bible speak. I remember once I started studying God's Word, and I learned some things that my preacher was teaching wrong. I met him at the back door after services, and I said, "Preacher, you said this, but notice what this verse says." And his answer was, "Oh, Ricky, all that matters is just what's in your heart. That's all that matters." So I had to go study on that. And I went home and I started studying on that and found out, well, it's not just what's in my heart, because Paul himself had a good conscience when he was killing Christians. He had a good conscience toward God, Acts 23 and verse 1. So guess what? Yep, I went to my pastor about that, and I said, "Pastor," I said, "what you said last week about it just being what's in my heart, well, that's not true because," and I showed him Acts 23 and verse 1. Well, then he got up and preached, and guess what? Yep, he said something wrong from God's Word again. I met him at the back door, and, you know, that was the last time I talked to that preacher. Because every time I approached him after that, he would walk away. So get ready for that, Barbara. They may not be interested in truth, and especially if it's going to affect their pocketbook. And so if you talk to them about what the Bible says about tithing, then that is going to be taken, very well may be taken as a personal insult, that you are going to diminish the what this church can be and do, and it very well may be taken the wrong way. So just get ready for that possibility. Now, I know we just went over Philippians 4 and verse 8, and it says, "Whatsoever things are true and honest and pure and lovely, whatsoever things are praiseworthy, think on these things." So let me encourage you to have that kind of mindset, and that is expect the best. Just think about him going to be responding this way. "Well, you know, I've never seen that before. I'm so glad that you brought that to my attention. I will have to certainly change and follow that. And we're just going to have to stop this tithing stuff here because that was nailed to the cross." And Galatians chapter 5, and you might point that out to him, Galatians 5 and verse 4 says, "Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace." So I don't want to be fallen from grace. I don't want it to be divorced from Christ. So, yeah, we're going to stop all of this tithing stuff, and we're just going to tell people to give what they can give and give cheerfully. Now, I hope that will be his response. But nevertheless, whatever his response is, You must do what Ephesians 5 and verse 11 says. Again, that's Ephesians 5 and verse 11, and it says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, or your translation may say, expose them. Well, yeah, you're going to have some tough water to be able to deal with. And so I hope and pray that it comes out just like I hoped it would as we looked and tried to apply Philippians 4 and verse 8. We have a caller standing by to go live over the air, and his name is Edward. We'll try this again to see if the board is going to cooperate with us. All right, Edward, are you there?
I'm here.
All right, good. We can hear you. How can we help you, and what's your question?
It's not a question. I have a comment. I'm listening to you talk about tithing. First of all, tithing was not under the law. It came before the law.
Well, it was started back with Abraham.
Let me finish. And then you can respond. And then when you get into the New Testament, Jesus never preached against tithe. In fact, he told the scribes and the Pharisees, you should do this. You should not leave the other undone, but you should tithe. So there's no New Testament scripture that teaches against tithing.
All right. Well, thank you, Edward. We sure do appreciate it. And now we'll let the Bible speak. Thanks so very much. Now, yes, Jesus lived under the law of Moses. In Matthew chapter 23, he was asked a question about tithing, and thus he said that they ought to tithe. But when you look at Colossians chapter 2 and verses 11, 12, 13, and 14, we see what happened and when that law ceased to be in effect. That's Colossians chapter 2. I will pick up with Colossians chapter 2, beginning with verse 13, and you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, being forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped out the handwritings of requirements that were against us, which were contrary to us. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to his cross. So this handwritings of requirements was nailed to the cross. Well, what was it? Well, it goes on to explain. It says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or new moon or of Sabbath days, which were a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. So that law of Moses, that law that was given through Moses on Mount Sinai, was nailed to the cross as far as being in effect. Now, we are to study God's word, the old and new. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, with that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. But now if we go back to that law to justify ourselves now, well, Galatians 5 and verse 4 just puts it this way. Again, it says, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So, Edward, carefully consider that before you do something like that, because Christ is the one that we are going to be facing on Judgment Day. It will not be Moses nor his law that we will be judged by. Now, Jesus was the only one to live under that law without sin. And so he did exactly what that law said. But when he died on the cross, it ended as far as being in force. And so what we must do is to listen to Christ. So other passages to consider, Hebrews chapters 8, 9, and 10. Also, you might want to look at Galatians chapters 3, 4, and 5. They all talk about our relationship to the law. There's a great deal in the New Testament dealing with that because, after all, the first people to become part of God's kingdom were Jews. And so it was tough for them to give up on that.
And there were a lot of things that were talked about in the law, even before the law, that were not negated in the New Testament. And so someone has...
They were repeated.
Right.
Yes.
And so I guess the question that needs to be asked, if we feel like we have to have a verse that negates an Old Testament law found in the New Testament before we're not amenable to it, that's an important point for us to appreciate. Levirate marriage, for instance, that was never contradicted in the New Testament, but obviously we don't keep it because that law as a system, as a body, was put away.
Okay, I think we have Edward that has called back, and he would like to respond to that. Edward, turn your radio down so there will not be an echo there, and go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you for being so kind. I'm back to the tithing issue again. You keep trying to put tithing into the law 430 years before Moses was ever born and gave the Israelites the law that took them through their hierarchical period. God gave Abraham, the founder of the Hebrew faith, in Genesis chapter 12, 1 through 3, you'll find God speaking to Abraham, and from Genesis 12, chapter 12 to Genesis chapter 26 is his legacy, where he instituted and established tithe before the law was ever given. And so the Israelites continued in that legacy because that was an institution of God, not by the law, but God gave that tithe to the Israelites as their legacy as a nation. So, again, you can't tie that into the law because it's not a part of the law. It was before the law was ever instituted.
Okay. Well, we appreciate that again. And now I've got a question for you, Edward. Now, being that you're going back before the law of Moses, I need to ask you, do you still offer animal sacrifices?
Do I still offer animal sacrifices?
Yes, because that was done before the law as well.
No, I don't.
Okay, so now everything's changed. Who's our sacrifice?
What animal sacrifices was offered before the law? You're talking about
Abraham
when God
offered sacrifices.
Abraham also offered up his son.
Well, he almost did. But you see my point there.
He offered the son. God provided another means, which was his doing,
yes,
which was an animal.
Well, that's my point.
Edward,
you see my point. And that is, we can't go even back that far because now we must all, there is no other name under heaven given among man to be saved other than Jesus Christ. We've got to listen to him. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1 and 2, God in sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers. That would be Abraham was one of those. Unto the fathers by the prophets has in these last days spoken unto us by his son. So now the authority must come from Christ. And
right.
Thus, when
and
we
Christ
go to his
said, Christ said you should have continued. He did not preach against tithing. He said you should have done it.
And
he
said
told
that
the Israelite, you pay tithe of mint, cummins, and anise.
Matthew chapter 23.
You should have continued to do the tithing. However, they had forgotten about the most important part of the law, and so Jesus rebuked them for doing away with that and continuing to tithe. He said, you should have done it all. You should have kept it all in terms of the love and how to relate to your fellow men. That's
okay.
What he rebuked them for because they didn't have that relationship, right?
Now, you know
And I share with you that that's basically where we are today as a church. You got 37,000 different
please.
Factions
Edward,
of religion
Edward,
fighting
Edward,
against each
Edward,
other. None
Edward,
of it is scriptural.
Edward?
Go ahead.
My question to you, who was he talking to there in Matthew 23?
Who was Jesus talking to?
Yes.
He was talking to the hearers, which was basically the leadership from the Jewish establishment of that day.
Yeah, and he called them a number of names like hypocrites, whited sepulchers. You know that passage, I would take it. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, so he wasn't talking to everybody when he called them whited sepulchers. He was talking to those Jewish leaders. He was pointing out their hypocrisy. Then, shortly after that, they didn't like that. What did they do with him? They crucified him. Thus, he became the sacrifice for our sins. What ended with Christ on the cross was that law of Moses. And so we've got to understand, we've got to look at the context of a passage before we can just pull out a verse and say that applies to us. And so that passage in the context was talking to those Jewish leaders, and he was showing out how they didn't even do what they were supposed to be doing. And he points that out very pointedly.
I agree with you there. However, as I said, when it comes to the tithing issue, that was before the law. Not only that, we have, in the Christian community, have convoluted so much of the Bible because we tried to separate the Old Testament from the New Testament. Jesus said, I came to fulfill, not to do away with.
Okay.
And that's one of the other areas where
Edward,
we talk about, well, there's no music in the church.
Edward,
well, there is no such thing
Edward,
in the New Testament, because when you talk about those
Edward,
disciples,
I won't have to
heard,
turn you down if you don't let me answer.
Well, you didn't let me get finished. You can't answer if I'm not finished. But anyway, I just
thank you
to
very much for calling. We appreciate that. Now let's let the Bible speak. Hebrews chapter 1 again, Hebrews chapter 1 and chapter 1 verse 1 and 2. It brings out very clearly that now we must listen to Christ. We must follow his word, that we must follow him, not what Moses brought, and certainly not a conglomeration of old, even before Moses' law. We've got to just follow his word and his word alone. The danger, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, makes it very clear, if we're going to listen to Christ, we cannot go back to that law. Whosoever goes to justify themselves by the law, they are estranged from Christ, Galatians 5 and verse 4. And if they do that, they are fallen from grace. It's time for us to take a break. You have a response there, Steve,
Right quick. Just the aspect of covenant is important for us to consider in this. Hebrews 9:15 talks about that Jesus, he is the mediator of a new covenant. There were covenants made with Abraham, the covenant of circumcision. There was the covenant made with Moses under his law and the people of the Jews. Then there's a new covenant. And so we need to then limit ourselves. Okay, what are the details of that new covenant? And that's really the New Testament law we need to be looking at.
So, Edward, make certain that you look at Galatians chapters 3, 4, and 5, and then also Colossians chapter 2 and Hebrews chapters 8, 9, and 10, and you'll see that we must not go back and mix these laws together. Romans chapter 7 as well, verses 1 through 7, 8, you'll see there, if we do that, then that means the same as adultery, spiritual adultery. We're married to two at one time. We can't do that. We must listen to Christ. He's the one that's going to judge us on that judgment day. We do want to remind you that this is a live broadcast, and we've skipped a break, but we're going to go ahead and go to it now because we want you to be as excited about this as we are. We want to send you a DVD and a Bible reading schedule to help you in 2013. If you would like to receive these, this is absolutely free of charge. So let us send this to you in the mail. Call the operator standing by at 553-5157. That's 553-5157, and we will be glad to send this to you free of charge. You can enroll in the correspondence course where you may learn some things from God's Word that you may have never heard before. And so it's very easy for someone to be caught up by what preacher so-and-so says or some church or even our family members and never actually get out the Word and find it for ourselves. So go ahead and enroll in this correspondence course so that you may learn to find the things that have been hidden by many of the churchianity clans today. So don't miss out on this. Learn what the Bible says, what God says by taking this correspondence course. By the same number, you can enroll in the course and get the DVD and the Bible reading absolutely free. Here's the details on that. Go ahead and call in your question if you've already got those things on the way to you. And we'll be glad to let the Bible speak. We'll be right back. We are serious about that. We'll be glad to send this correspondence course to you free. We'll be glad to send the DVD and the Bible reading schedule to you both free, all three of those things. So don't miss out and call for that today, 553-5157. We have Barbara calling back concerning the question about talking to her pastor about that. And she says, well, if you go to the pastor and tell him about things your church is doing wrong, he responds negatively. What do you do? Well, this is called let the Bible speak, so I'm just going to let the Bible speak. There's two passages to consider here. One is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11, which says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Fellowship means you're on board with them. You are hanging. You are involved. You are agreeing or condoning those things. And so you can't condone it at all. And if you hang around them much and you aren't condoning it, they're going to be kicking you out for sure. It's just going to be more than just negative. But there again, there's another passage to consider, and that is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where God talks about having fellowship with two disagreeing entities. In this case, it would be the devil or sin and Christ. And so let's just read it. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, rather than read the whole thing, let me begin with verse 14. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? And the answer to that is nothing. If you can't stand with them, then what is it that the Lord wants you to do? Well, on down in verse 17, so here's what God says. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch the unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We cannot afford to be in party with, in agreement with, or at least in communion or fellowship with evil, with wrong. And if someone is not doing what God says, then that is certainly not wrong. How are you going to know if they'll do what God says? Well, you just said it in your question. If you point out what the Bible says and they're not willing to listen to it, then yeah, you get the point. I think so. That was 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 14 through the end of the chapter, and then also Ephesians 5 and verse 11. Barbara, why don't you memorize Ephesians 5 and verse 11? It will be on your heart throughout all this. Steve, you have a question?
Yeah, we have a question from Isaac, and this question has to do with needy people. He says, there are people in the world who are in need but are not getting that help. What can be done about this? Well, there are several verses in the New Testament that I'd like to share with you. One of those is in Galatians 6 and verse 10, and this was talked about earlier in the program, when it says that we ought to be able to help those who need things done to them for all men. Verse 10 says, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those who are of the household of faith. And so this would be a way in which Christians could help. The same thing is said in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, where it says that we ought to be zealous for good deeds. And so part of that falls upon us as Christians. We need to be taught that, and we need to be willing to do that. There are all kinds of organizations that are useful for that as well, are seeking to do that. But here's the thing that is of concern and heartbreaking to all of us, and that is Jesus said that you'll have the poor with you always, and that's in Matthew 26 and verse 11. So, you know, while we had the war on poverty and all kinds of government organizations and all kinds of other social organizations and even Christians and churches help people, we're not going to be able to obliterate poverty. So as we have opportunity, I think that's the key word in Galatians, as we have opportunity, and so we can just do what we have responsibility towards as we see a need and as we have the privilege and opportunity and wherewithal to help that need. So I hope that is some encouragement, at least to you, Isaac.
The number is 308-9564. We're about to take a break, but I'm going to try to squeeze in one more question from a text question before we go to break. And be mindful that the line may be busy at 553-5157. That's because there are so many calling. If it's busy, just hang up and then hit redial until you get through for the free DVD and the Bible reading schedule. And we're more than happy to send these to you. That's 553-5157. Let me squeeze in this question we have from a texter at the last three digits is 845. They want to know, it says, please read Galatians 3, 26 through 28. In reference to women serving in the body of Christ. That is an awesome passage. It not only talks about the law, but it goes on to show that now under this law, it brings out that all of us are one in Christ Jesus. verses 27, as far as many of you has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. By the way, that is something that is often overlooked, and I commend you for noticing that passage as well, that is what puts us into Christ. It's not just belief, and not just repentance added to it, and not just confession added to that. It is consummated. We're actually added to Christ when we're baptized into Christ, as it says there. Then it goes on to say, as far as in God's kingdom, there is neither Jew nor Greek, nor bond nor free, nor male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. We're all going to be judged the same, and will have nothing to do with gender. And there were gender, if you will, levels of authority or ranks, seemingly in time of old. But now we're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So that's how we now are to be conducting ourselves according to what Christ is to be saying to us, what he says to us. And that makes us Abraham's seed as well. Now, does verse 28, where it says neither male nor female, make it to where that what man can do, woman can do? Well, no. No, not at all. That just shows that there is no respecter of persons with God. We're all going to be judged the same. We're going to be judged based upon his word. And so if his word tells parents that they are to teach their children, well, and God's word does tell us to do that. We are to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That doesn't mean I'm supposed to bring up Steve's children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's his job. And so that's his role as a parent over his children. And so the roles that we are filling, whether it may be male or female, we are to follow the guidelines that that role does dictate. So it's time for us to take our next break. Again, awesome passage. Thank you so much for your pointing this out. And it does fit into the picture as well. Thank you. That means God is no respecter of persons, neither male nor female, but he dictates. He's the one that tells us how to function in the roles that we may be in. Time for us to take our last break. We do want you to know that this is a live broadcast. Don't miss out on the free Bible correspondence course, certainly, but also the DVD and the Bible reference, the Bible schedule reading tool for 2013, where you can read through the Bible in 1 year. Here's the information on how to get that. We're back live. The number is 308-9564. We have a live caller standing by. We got Sam standing by. Sam, do you have a question there that you want to ask?
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
I know we're trying to push for time,
sure.
But since I've been in the church a long time, my question is on tithing, too. Again, it takes light. It costs the lighting, heating, reading material, cleanup, after service, groundkeeping, insurance, and plus, let's not leave out the queuing and the wine and the bread. Who's going to pay for all this, That's why I was.
Okay, Sam, that's a great question. And how many of those things does the Bible address as far as necessary in order to serve God? Well, only the fruit of the vine and the bread there. The rest of those things man has invented. God never told us to have a church building and lights and power and all of those things. Now, does it make it wrong just because we may have a building? Well, no, if it is prudent in carrying God's word out. But what many have done is they've come up with 10,000 things to do with that money that God never told us to do with that money. That money belongs to him, and we're supposed to be teaching the gospel to a lost and dying generation. And that's what he gave us. That's the mission he gave us. And he never even said that we needed shelter. Jesus didn't have a shelter. He was homeless. So are we supposed to be better off than our Lord? Now, everybody here in the studio, we have a house to live in. But the truth of the matter is, do we have to have, is that an absolute need? Is that a Bible-defined need, shelter? Well, the answer to that is no. Remember, he said in 1 Timothy 6, having food and raiment therewith, be content.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever thought about that or not. But there's God's definition of what need is, food and clothing. And so,
Now I look at a lot of television, programs and church programs. Somebody has to, and it costs millions of dollars. So somebody got to pay for it.
Well, who's paying for this radio program? Well, it is maintained by Christians that love God and are serious enough about him to give, as 1 Corinthians 16 verse 1 and 2 says, to give on the first day of the week. And they're supposed to give bountifully, 2 Corinthians, and give cheerfully, 2 Corinthians 9 as well says. So we're supposed to give cheerfully, bountifully, and upon the first day of the week as we've been prospered. The word tithing is not in any of those passages, though.
Well, when you put it that way, cheerfully and bountifully, it takes a strain off you, you know?
It does. You're exactly right.
It takes a strain off you.
You're not compelled.
Well, okay, I appreciate it. Give somebody else a chance.
Have a nice day. Well, thank you. We'll do our best to answer the rest of these questions. Thank you for calling today. Steve, you got another
question? Yep, real quickly. Question says, when listening to gospel music, is it okay to listen to songs that have lyrics contrary to the Bible? And I would simply say that, you know, how can we listen to something that purports itself as being gospel and yet it's contrary to the Bible? That's really an oxymoron, we might say. It's never good to do wrong. And so, again, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. The lyrics of songs that the New Testament talks about that we're to sing to one another, we're to sing songs, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and we're to use those to teach, and what we're teaching is truth. So it would be very counterproductive to listen to gospel music where the truth is not being taught. So I would discourage you from doing that.
Okay, we have Steve standing by. Steve, you've got 30 seconds to give us your question. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, I just wanted to make a comment. I actually know Edward that called in earlier, and I vouch for him as a brother in the Lord. And based on your answer to the lady that called in about confronting her pastor, I think if she confronted her pastor in the way you told her to, which is not biblical, I think she's going to go down the wrong path, and here's what I mean.
Well, now, wait a minute, Steve. This is not Let Steve Speak. This is Let the Bible Speak program.
Well,
and so what we need
to
do is just let the Bible speak.
What the Scripture says.
Steve?
What you do is when someone tells you something you don't want to hear, you cut them off.
If it's not from God's Word, that's right.
If you can let me finish, then you can talk and then answer my question.
Oh, I'm sorry, Steve.
You're afraid to
answer
somebody's question is what you're doing.
All right, this is a program called Let the Bible Speak, and those of y'all that are longtime listeners know Steve has got on here, tried to preach two or three times, and that's just not what we're about. We're about letting the Bible speak. And the verses that he's referring to is Ephesians 5 and verse 11, where it says that we're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We reprove with God's Word, and so we need to make certain that God is the one that's going to be heard and not man. And so we have another caller. We're just about totally out of time. We got this question is, when the Bible says that a wife should obey her husband, does that mean that a wife should do, a wife has to do everything that her husband says and her opinion does not matter? Well, this is from a text caller with the letters 046. And so I want to say thank you for your question. That is a wonderful question, and there's a lot of dysfunctional families out there that have that kind of setup, and that's not right. So, great question. Ephesians chapter 5 will find the answer. Ephesians 5 verses 21 through the end of the chapter show how that a husband is to love the wife even as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. And so it is very important for the husband to learn how to love as he is supposed to. And so it is absolutely wrong for someone to not be able to listen to wise wisdom. And some of the wisest people on this planet are women. And so we've got to make certain that we listen to what God says and then also listen to what our wives have to say as well. Does that mean they're out of submission simply because they're giving us their insight? No. Does that mean that we're not leading simply because that we are listening to them? No. It would be a foolish man indeed to not listen to a wise wife. However, the burden of responsibility is to be placed upon the husband. He's the one that is to lead and to be answerable for the events and that unfold in their home. The curse from the very beginning in the Garden of Eden was given to the man, and that she was to be submissive to him. Leadership is a very dangerous place because you become the target of the devil. And so from the very beginning, that did occur. And so we've got to make certain that that we make wise decisions as we lead our family. God holds the man responsible. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. He is the one that is charged with bringing up his children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8, he's the one that is charged with providing for his own. And if he doesn't, he's worse than an infidel. So we must make certain that we make good decisions as husbands, and that involves listening to good wisdom. And the greatest wisdom that we can get very well may be from our wife, our virtuous wife. So hopefully that has been helpful to you. Thank you so much for your question. We really appreciate that very much. Again, that's from the last three digits of 046.
And I might add real quickly that when you think about the relationship of husband and wife, and particularly if a wife feels like she's at a disadvantage with her husband, 1 Peter 3 talks about what she can do to help encourage the husband to be more receptive to her, as well as understanding of her desire to please God. And 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about, in verse 1, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of the wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior. So hang in there and seek to do what the Lord would have you to do.
We are reaching the end of our program. We want you to know that we are so thankful that you have taken out time to go to the Bible for the answers to the questions, and hopefully and prayerfully that we have just directed you to what God says in His Word. I know sometimes it's easy for personalities to get involved, and thus whenever we do that, we are actually getting and interfering with what God says. What we must do is listen to God and follow what He says in His Word. We must let the Bible speak. Certainly, you are seeking after the happiness and joy and fulfillment that can only come from God Himself. It will not come from seeking after personal things or physical things or money or position. It can and only come from our Creator by obediently loving Him and seeking after Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. What we must do is not listen to man. And don't listen to us. What we must do is let the Bible speak.